What a marvelous day. It's a beautiful day weather-wise. It's great to be with you this morning. But just the anticipation and excitement of knowing that the shepherd of the Archdiocese of Indianapolis will be in our company this afternoon for confirmation of several of our young people, bringing in them in, those sheep, into full membership of our flock. It's a marvelous day indeed. This gospel reading that we heard has been tainted by centuries of dripping down, watering down. We think, of course, we'd celebrate over finding a lost one. But see, Jesus had a distinct tendency of turning things over. In the day of Jesus, those listeners of these parables would have thought, he's a bit goofy. In those days, a shepherd would not leave the flock to find one sheep. He was risking way too much by doing that. He was leaving the other 99 alone and in the desert. That's just flat irresponsible. Because, you see, he didn't own the sheep. He was just a worker. He worked for the owner of the sheep. And to be irresponsible and leave 99 behind was not the right thing to do. It was irresponsible. And then to have a party celebrating his ineptness, celebrating his shame, that's unheard of. It doesn't make any sense. Why would anybody in his right mind do something so goofy? And then we have this woman who turns her house all upside down for a little single coin. A waste of energy, a waste of time. It shows that she was irresponsible in not keeping those coins together like she should have. She probably didn't have them where they needed to be. And so we're going to celebrate her goofiness. And then she's going to pull everybody together to celebrate her shame. It's a little bit different than what we understand those parables, isn't it? Well, that's the way it was told, and that's the way we need to look at them. It needs to turn our lives upside down. It needs to cause us to think and ponder. And that's what Jesus' intent is with the parables. You see, the point of these parables that Jesus is trying to teach is to illustrate just how goofy God the Father is about you, about me, about the individual. The individual is that important to God, the creator of everything, cares that much about this one little being. Most of us, we live in fear of a God who keeps count. And we reinforce it every year in the image of Santa Claus. He's making a list. He's checking it twice. He's going to find out who's naughty and nice. That's keeping count. Well, the beautiful thing about what Jesus is trying to teach us is that if God is keeping count, he's counting us as members of his flock. He cares that much to count you, the individual, into his flock and to make sure he's got you. Well, that's just simply too good to be true and so good to be true. And I think what makes that hard to believe or accept is that we forget who we are. Or maybe we don't even know who we are. We tell ourselves, I'm not worthy. I'm not good enough. And I hear that from people frequently. And I have to admit, I've said it myself. I said it on my way to being ordained. I'm not worthy. I'm not good enough. But I just had to get over it. You know, that it's true. By our own merit, we are not. But we forget. We forget that Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners, didn't he, Judge? You proclaimed that just a few minutes ago, didn't you? But in the words of St. Paul. And we forget about what God has done for us and is doing for us. We get so busy and caught up, God isn't even on the radar. And we forget that God, the Holy Spirit, is with us. We forget who we are. So the question is, who are we? Judge, we're sinners, right? That's what we heard. We're sinners. And, you know, I think we got it. I think we got that. We understand that. But one thing maybe we don't understand is that we are children of God, sons and daughters of the King, and made in His image and likeness. And there's another thing we forget. Because of baptism, we share in Christ's dignity and identity. When, how many are baptized? Okay. When we are baptized, we are baptized in the threefold identity of Jesus: priest, prophet, and king. How many priests, prophets, and kings do we have here this morning? How many of you are baptized? So, how many priests, prophets, and kings do we have here this morning? That's a little better. See, you're still struggling with trying to figure out who you are. And that's okay. We get a lifetime of trying to figure that out. And the grace of God to bless us in doing that. And there's another beautiful thing that comes to us. It'll happen here this morning. Because of the sacraments, especially the Eucharist, and it's going to be neat to see confirmations because it's going to happen there too. We are members of the body of Christ. Ministers of Holy Communion, or extraordinary, let me use the proper terminology, extraordinary ministers of communion, how many of there are you with us this morning? Raise your hands high. You should be, there you go. And ordinary ministers of communion, pay attention to us, or at least what comes through us. Because each time you receive the Eucharist, you are reminded of who you are. The ministers, extraordinary ministers of communion and ministers of communion say these words, the body of Christ. They're not only telling you what you're getting ready to receive, they're telling you who you are, and you say what? Amen. Yes. Do you really know what you're saying amen to? I think you have a better idea now. St. Augustine, Bishop of Hippo, one of the greatest doctors in the church, much smarter than this guy, maybe not as smart as this guy, when he distributed Holy Communion, he would say, receive what you are. Can you imagine walking up to Augustine, extending your hands, and he says, rather than the body of Christ, he says, receive what you are. And how quick are you going to say amen to that? So who are we? We are the body of Christ. Our being members of Christ's body, it allows us to share in Christ's power. Our being members of the body of Christ empowers us to be agents of grace. And God bless my dear wife. She reminds me of my graces of ordination. And asked me, do you claim those? I ask you. In your reception of the sacraments, do you remember to claim those graces? Because there's power in that. And we are agents of that. This past Tuesday, I was blessed to be in the company of someone I never thought I'd ever meet in my life. One of my greatest spiritual heroes, Father Ronald Rollheiser. He was a keynote speaker to ministers who minister to people whose family and friends have committed suicide. And Father Ron, he's a prolific writer and a best-selling author. Some of his best-selling books, these three which I've read, had a monumental impact on my life. The Holy Longing, The Shattered Lantern, Sacred Fire. And he bowled me over one more time when he shared, this is kind of an oxymoron, a monumental fact of faith that's been lost on me for years. And hear what he said. It's just too good to be true. And so good to be true. And what he said, it's rattling around in my soul, and I'm trying to grasp the beauty of this. He said, those you love are loved by Christ because you love them. Hang on to that nugget. I'm going to say it again. Those you love are loved by Christ because you love them. Is that not just the most beautiful thing you've ever heard? And he went on to say that our being members of Christ's body gives us the power to love others into heaven. I call that sharing in Christ's power, to love others into heaven, to love them. And he painted a picture that just resonates in me. And he said, your heaven will include those you love by the power of Christ, by the power of being a member of the body of Christ. That just speaks volumes to the power of God's love and our connection with God and our connection with each other. There's an unfathomable power in our membership of the body of Christ and in our connectedness. Many of us fear for loved ones who don't go to church, for loved ones who are struggling with their faith, for loved ones who are lost. We fear for them. And sometimes we try to control them to get them to come into the flock, but that doesn't work, does it? We fear for them. Well, here it is. We hear it again. Don't be afraid. Don't be anxious. Don't be worried. Get goofy. Love them. Hand them over to God. And you know what? And then just trust the details to God, because He just loves taking care of the details right down to the individual. And you know what? Your heaven will include them because they are connected to the body of Christ through you. Now, you're probably sitting there thinking, that's just goofy. That's just too good to be true. And so good to be true. That's the good news. That's the gospel. That's what got people all stirred up, because this is just too good to be true. It can't be true, but it is so good to be true. That is why Jesus came into the world. We heard it in the second reading. To save sinners. To connect us. And once we are members of the body of Christ, we cannot be lost. We cannot be separated. And those we love, they're not lost or separated either. Don't believe me? Don't believe Father Ron? Think we're goofy? It's okay if you say yes. That's all right. Well, maybe St. Paul is goofy too. I have something to share with you from St. Paul.